Well, it's so good to be here tonight, and we're very excited about welcoming Mount Chapel into the family of New Frontiers, and specifically Christ Central. So I think what I want to do tonight is I want to spend probably about 15 minutes giving you some information. Then we want to spend about, and it's about, 15 minutes answering questions. And you might have some very specific questions that you want to ask us about New Frontiers, about Christ Central, about how we work, about how we operate. And we want to be open and accountable and vulnerable to you. And then we want to spend about 15 minutes, and we kind of want to end up about half past eight, which is really only half seven, isn't it, because the clocks have changed. We want to spend the last 15 minutes, those guys who stood at the beginning and just were the Christ Central church leaders, church teams from around the area, we just want to pray and prophesy over you as Mount Chapel, because this is not about us, it's about you. We want to be serving you. So I just want to say a few words about New Frontiers and about Christ Central Churches and what we are and how it's all happened, and then we'll talk a little bit about how we can serve you. New Frontiers has been going for about 40 years now. It started off as one big family led by a very dear friend of us, ours, a man called Terry Virgo, married to Wendy. And Terry and Wendy started to lead churches in the south of England. Our church in Hastings on the south coast, where Anne and I met, where we grew up, where we first started our marriage together, we first started our ministry together, we first started leading together. That church was the third church that got involved with Terry Virgo in about the 1974-75. I think I joined in 1979, so it goes back quite a few years. Over the years, New Frontiers then grew and multiplied. I would say there were three things about New Frontiers that kind of distinguished us or made us kind of unique, not the only ones who did this, but kind of unique in the way we did them together. We had a very reformed theological basis. So we believed in the sovereignty of God. We believed in God's election and calling and choosing. We believed that God has invested truth in his word, and his word speaks today. We're not blown about by every wind of doctrine or current paperback or current trend, but we're based solidly on biblical truth, the word of God, reformed theology. And I was delighted just to look along your bookshelves to see all the reformed theology that you have here in Mount Chapel. So that's wonderful. And then there was the sense of us being charismatic, unashamedly a movement, a group, a family of churches that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you get people who are reformed, they're word-based, they love the word, and yet actually they're not embracing the Holy Spirit. And New Frontiers has always been a family of churches that embrace word and spirit together. In fact, we don't think word and spirit are separate. We think what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, to quote the wedding service. We believe that word and spirit are joined together, that Jesus is the word of God, and he's in perfect Trinitarian unity with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who first spoke and breathed the word into being, and actually that's the printed words we've got on our page, are the breath of the Holy Spirit. And actually, every time the word's mentioned, it's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can you separate word and spirit? It's one, word and spirit together. So we were reformed, truth, biblical values. We were charismatic, experiencing the dynamic power of the Spirit, which led us to be missional. In other words, outward looking. Jesus said to the disciples when he gathered them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, wait for the Spirit. The Spirit is going to come upon you. But when the Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to encounter power. You're going to encounter dynamic power. The Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be propelled out. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is hometown. Jerusalem, Judea, which is like county town or area. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that's the county next door, or you could say the city next door. I won't really go into that in this neck of the woods, but you know what I mean. The kind of bit next door that you don't have anything to do with, but you know is there, and to the, and to, yeah, and to the ends of the earth. And I think that categorized New Frontiers, that we were word-based, spirit-filled, but mission-sent. And we were going into all the earth as far as we could, planting churches. And up till about 7 years ago, New Frontiers had planted churches in many different nations, I think about 40 different nations, and we were about 800 churches led by Terry and his apostolic team. Now, Terry and his apostolic team were aging. They were getting into their 70s, and as happened, transition needed to happen. And about 7 years ago, in 2011, Terry Virgo multiplied New Frontiers into about 20 different families of churches or teams. And we were privileged to be asked to lead one of those teams, and we've called that team Christ Central. So that's the story of what's happened in New Frontiers. Now, what's really interesting is that New Frontiers, over the last 7 years, has multiplied so that we're now about 1,600 churches right across the nations. All those, you add up all those 20 new families, it's about 1,600 churches, and in more and more and more nations. So Christ Central, the part that Anne and I and many of the brothers and sisters in this room have a privilege to lead, we are about 60 churches, mainly in the north of the UK, primarily in the north of England. But we also have churches in, and I'll try and see if I can remember this, and there's a test later, and you'll be asked to see if you can remember them. No, you won't, don't worry. We have churches in Sweden. These are all Christ Central churches. Sweden, Norway. We have churches in Canada. We have churches in Mexico. We have churches in Peru. We have churches in Bolivia. We have churches in, or that are being planted in, Cambodia. And we, this will be news to some of you guys in the room, we have a church in Oman, Muscat, Oman now as well. So they're the Christ Central churches. I've forgotten Africa. We have churches in Zambia. We have churches in, there's a reason I forgot them. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I didn't forget them. We have churches in Zambia. We have churches in Tanzania. We have churches in Kenya. And we have churches in Ghana. Now, the reason I kind of, where are you from? Okay, I'm just getting my Ghanaian visa. Anne and I are getting our Ghanaian visa together to go and visit Ghana for the first time. There's 14 churches in Ghana, mainly in the Volta, Ho region, and we're thrilled. Now, what's wonderful, we believe in growth and multiplication. So the reason I separated Africa out is actually deliberate, in as much that there's a couple in Africa called Joseph and Lily Mawila that Rob and Helen introduced us to. And Joseph now has emerged to be an apostle leading a team of churches in his own right. And that's the thing we believe in New Frontiers. We believe things should multiply and grow and new leaders should emerge. So this church here, let's just really earth it in you here in Mount Chapel. Our heart is that you grow. Our heart is that you prosper. Our heart is that God blesses you, and that out of you, new churches would be planted, maybe locally or maybe to the ends of the earth. Who knows where God is going to call you to go? And we want to bless you and encourage you and cheer you on in all that. Now, I just want to ground all that I'm saying in one thing. The danger with a setting like tonight is I've got my best New Frontiers check shirt on. And by the way, you know, it's just like legal. You have to wear a check shirt. Keith, you let the side down. But no, we always... Oh. Yeah, Michael, you're... Michael, for the first time, your dress code is appropriate. Graham's all right. He's in the check... No, we joke because many of us do wear check... You've been a New Frontiers leader for years, haven't you? We come to an event like this, and we can't look shiny. We can't look at our best behaviour. Where's George? George, and I met George, lovely man, came up to me and said, "Oh, Jeremy, are you?" He said, "You're much younger than I was led to believe." And I thought, "What have they led you to believe?" But kind of, we look shiny, we look new, we look all nice. And you guys look all nice and shiny. You put a lovely lunch on, a meal on for us. But worship, I mean, I love Rivers and Robots anyway, but worship was great with Jonathan leading us. And the danger with that is we kind of put on a bit of a show for one another. I put on a show for you, you applaud me. You put on a show for us, we applaud you. One of our massive distinctives as Christ Central Churches, and I'm so thrilled, Paul, that you said it right from the beginning, is that we're friends who enjoy God together. Now, we're enjoying the grace of God together, but it comes out of friendship, and friends don't have to try and impress one another. Friends are vulnerable. Friends are open. Friends can show weaknesses. Friends can show vulnerability. And sometimes when I switch on my television and look at some of the Christian programs, it seems like Christian leaders have no problems. Seems like everything's bright and shiny. The truth is this, every single one of us in this room, right now, if we're honest, are facing difficulties, trials, we're facing sickness. Somebody said, oh, don't mention it tonight. But actually, I am going to mention it tonight because I've checked with Gwen. She was happy for us to mention it. John's in hospital again. Now, you know, we could pretend that wasn't happening, or we could say, he's our dear friend, John, and actually, we want to pray for him. In fact, right now, I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for John Ogden and Gwen. We thank you for this wonderful family. Lord, thank you for the ones I know, Andrew and Jonathan. I think there are others as well, but thank you for this family. And Lord, I want to ask you to bless John. In fact, I want to ask you to heal John. I want to ask you to comfort John and come alongside him and bless him right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. You see, we are family together. And I think I've been just reading afresh the New Testament with new eyes, looking at things like weakness and vulnerability as actually part of the Christian leadership life or part of the Christian lifestyle. I came across, let me read a passage that some of you might have heard me mention before, but I came across this passage, which kind of is familiar, but just I felt tonight, as I was preparing, it would be really good to just focus in on this passage and just underline it. It comes in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, and it says this. We have this treasure, this wonderful Christianity, this wonderful glory, this wonderful Christ-centeredness. See, I got that in. We have this treasure, guess what, in jars of clay. We're just ordinary. You might be bright and shiny on the outside, and you're particularly bright and shiny on the outside, but actually, we're vulnerable. We're weak. We have our own failings and vulnerabilities. We're just jars of clay. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, if I look really bright and shiny to you and happy and everything's going well in my life, you might think, oh, he's a lovely guy. That's a nice guy, Jeremy. But if I say to you, actually, I struggle with some vulnerabilities. Anne and I weren't able to have children. Actually, I have a sister who's had a brain hemorrhage and is very sick and has real difficulties. And I start to talk to you about real life. If I start to talk to you about some of our struggles, but I found God's strength, I found his glory, I found he's filled me, I found he's empowered me, that makes you say, not Jeremy is wonderful, but Jesus is wonderful. And the reason that we're called Christ Central is that we want everything to bring glory back to Jesus. And when you talk about weakness and vulnerability, you think, surely I should be coming here telling you how wonderful Christ Central is. Actually, I'm telling you how weak we are, how vulnerable we are, that we get it wrong, that we don't always do things brilliantly, that we have our mistakes, we have our failures, but God is with us. And his power is filling us. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. We're hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but we are not in despair. We're persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We're struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. You see, Jesus, at the very point of weakness, we're about to celebrate it this week, aren't we? This is Holy Week. I know we don't necessarily use those terms and calendars, but this is Palm Sunday, and we're leading towards Easter, and we're celebrating that Jesus gave his life. At his point of greatest weakness, at the point where they were jeering and laughing, when the leaders of the Jews, whether it was demonic powers or principalities, they were laughing, they thought they got him. At that point of his greatest weakness, actually the greatest power was being released. And actually, it's sometimes when you get to a point of weakness, when you say, Lord Jesus, this is not about me anymore. It's not about my strength or my ability. This is about your strength. It's about your ability. It's about your empowering. It's about your filling. Then actually, God gets the glory, we get filled, and we get empowered. Now, I want to give you two illustrations of this. And I've come across this recently. If you Google, did you Google Ray? Where's Ray? You Google? It's been known. If you Google the ancient Japanese art of pottery repair, because we're talking here about jars of clay filled with glory. If I break a jar, I throw it away. If I break anything, I have been known to break things in the house and try and fix them with super glue before Anne comes home. That has actually happened. And she eagle-eyed noticed, because you try and hide the crack. But actually, the ancient art of Japanese pottery repair, or kintsukuru as it's called, I can't really pronounce that properly, they repair broken pottery with gold so that the gold shines out. In fact, so that they don't try and hide the crack, they actually glorify the crack. They actually make the cracked piece of pottery come alive even more glorious. You see, that's what God does to us. We're just broken pots. We're nothing special. We're just cracked pots, you could say. We're nothing particularly special. But actually, God comes in these jars of clay and fills you with glory. Mount Chapel might be a cracked pot. You might have some flaws. You might have some weaknesses. But our hope and prayer is that God will come and fill you with his glory. That actually, he'll come and repair your seams with gold, and you'll shine out even more gloriously. Now, as I was talking to Anne about this a little while ago, she said, I've just read something that actually shows that illustration even more so, that God works through your weakness and your vulnerability. And I'd just like Anne, if she'd come and share this.
This is a modern-day parable, which those of you who do Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, you may recognize it as I read it to you. I can't remember which month it came through, but I'm going to read it to you. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Both hung on the ends of a pole, which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot always arrived half full. The poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. I have been able to deliver only half my load, because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all this work, and you don't get full value from your efforts. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back, you watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the table. Without you being just the way you are, there would not be this beauty to grace the house." And it's a beautiful picture of God's grace in our lives. None of us is perfect, but God has created us the way we are, that his glory will shine out of us. In our weakness, God strengthens us. And I just believe it's just a perfect example of how he can use every single one of us in this room, every single church in Christ Central Churches, every single church right through this whole world. God's grace can be used to glorify his name.
So our prayer is for Mount Chapel, that however shiny you look on the outside, and however shiny we look on the outside, that we can walk in authenticity, that we can walk in vulnerability together, we can help one another, where we have weaknesses, where we have cracks, that we can repair those cracks with seams of gold, that we would be full of the glory of God. And actually, even through our weaknesses, where we leak out, we believe that God's going to plant these seeds and fresh things are going to emerge, even here in Salford, even across Greater Manchester, even to the ends of the earth. We believe God is with you, and we want to support you, encourage you, and help you. Now, what somebody asked me, would I just mention that we do gather together in many different settings. We have leaders settings, we have settings where we teach one another about certain topics, certain issues. I was with a group of churches yesterday that was advertising anyone in business getting together. I was with a group, a church today that was talking about getting creative people together. Different settings, we get together in different settings, in different arenas, if you like, with different people. But one of the things we do every year is to gather all our churches together for a great celebration over the August bank holiday weekend. We call it devoted because in Acts 2:42 they devoted themselves to fellowship, prayer, breaking bread, and the word of the apostles' teaching, word of God. And we devote ourselves to those things. And in fact, this year we've got a very special couple with us that will fit in so well with our theme of weakness and brokenness. It's a couple called Andrew and Rachel Wilson from Eastbourne Church. I've known Rachel since she was a little girl. She married Andrew, who's one of the finest Bible teachers I know. I think he's one of the best Bible teachers around the world. But they have two autistic, severely regressive autistic children. And they're going to come and share their story with us. They're going to come and talk about their life and how they've handled that, how the grace of God has been with them. And they're going to teach and share with us. Let me end by just reminding you of this scripture also from 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians has been a bit of a go-to book for me over this last year. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about his thorn in the flesh. And we all know what the thorn in the flesh is, don't we? We have no idea what the thorn in the flesh is, by the way. We don't know. That's not important what the thorn in the flesh was. He asked for it to be taken away, and actually, you'd think God, if Paul asked that kind of prayer three times, you'd think God would have done it. No, God says this to him, and I think this is prophetic over you as Mount Chapel. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I can even delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This isn't appeal just to be pathetic. It's appeal for openness, vulnerability, transparency, and an appeal that we don't rely on man's strength, men and women's strength, but that we get filled with the glory of the Lord. We're filled with his grace and his strength. Now, guys, I said we'd split this evening into threes. That was, I've stuck to my part of that. We'd like the next 15 minutes just to be questions, Q&A. You may not have any questions, and that's fine. You haven't got to have questions. You haven't got to impress anyone with a question. But I think there are some genuine questions here, some genuine concerns. I picked up one or two as I was just talking to people earlier. And if they don't ask those, I'll ask them to ask them. But why don't you ask us, or you might want to ask the team, some questions. Then we just want to pray and prophesy over you and bless you as a church. Who's going to be bold? Come on. Right, we speak it to the mic so everyone can hear.
So when we were first kind of, when the idea of joining a church network was first shared with us, obviously there was a thought of what the Mount Chapel get from the network, if you like, and I guess our thought was also, what does the network get from Mount Chapel joining? So I guess my question is, what do you guys see in us that makes you think that church is worth having in the network, and we're kind of we're looking forward to.
Well, I'm not going to be arrogant enough to answer that. And I'll tell you why I'm not going to be arrogant enough to answer that. It's because this is the first time I've been amongst you. So I don't really know you enough. I've met some of your amazing leaders. I know John. I know Ray. I've got to know Paul. I met George, who really impressed me tonight with his perceptive comment about my youthfulness. I obviously know the worship guys here. But I couldn't say that I know. But my friend here, Dave Atkinson, lives around the road. Dave, why don't you come and show your legs to everybody in the church? And Dave, how many times have you preached here?
Two or three. Come
on, just say. What? He doesn't know I was going to ask him to do this, but he's my friend, and I'm going to put him on the spot. Dave, what is it? Look at those legs. The reason I don't show my legs is I don't have good legs like that. So, Dave, what is it that you've seen in response to this gentleman's question? What is it that you've seen here that you kind of want to bless or even see released? Or what is it about that you think, why should this group of people join our movement?
Speaking here is always great. I mean, you guys are so encouraging, so responsive. I sometimes, every time I've come, there's been that sense of anticipation amongst you, that as I stand up and I feel a huge weight of responsibility, because the people in the room want to know. The people in the room want to experience God. The people in the room want to have a greater assurance of who God is and who God is in their lives. And in my own church, our church, people tend not to come to me and repeat back phrases that I said. It doesn't ever happen. And yeah, I'm sitting over there having tea and coffee. Well, same sermon, different location. But people come up to me and say, I liked it when you said that. I liked it when you said that. And that for me makes us feel welcome. And you've always made Joe feel welcome, and our kids feel welcome when we've been here, and that's a joy. I think we just enjoy the sense of the presence of God with you. It feels like home from home. It doesn't feel like I'm going to a completely different family. I talking to Joe before we came out, he's kind of said, there's a New Frontiers church in Kingston, and when we drop in there sometimes, it feels like he just kind of picked us up and dropped us into another part of the family. And it's very much felt like that when we've kind of visited you guys as well. It just feels like kind of moving us down the road, nearer to our house, actually. But
brilliant. Thanks, Dave. So there's obviously lots that we could say like that, and I just thought it was authentic to get Dave to speak. I think biblically, I believe that churches should be autonomous, but they shouldn't be independent. So what I mean by that is autonomy means that the government of a local church should rest and reside within the local church. That the elders and the leaders of the local church, working together with the trustees or directors or however the church is legally set up, are in charge of the church. They have spiritual responsibility from God, and they have governmental responsibility from the Inland Revenue, the charity commissioners, etc., to direct the affairs of the church. And you're responsible as leaders and elders for the church. There's an autonomy in that for hiring and firing, as it were. If I shouldn't use that word lightly, but for certainly shouldn't use the word firing lightly. But, you know, for employment, let's use the word employment law, for child protection, data protection, all those kind of things. There's responsibility, there's an autonomy on you for that. Absolutely right. Just as there's an autonomy on a family, on a mum and dad and children, there's an autonomy in that kind of nuclear family. But God doesn't design families to be independent from one another. And God hasn't designed churches to be independent from one another. God's design is for families to be built together. And God's design is for churches, autonomous churches, to be built together. Because one of the prophetic words over New Frontiers is we can do more together than we can on our own. So, for instance, what we're doing together in terms of supporting churches in Africa and Mexico and Oman and Cambodia couldn't be done by one or two churches. It has to be churches working together to do that. We've probably got about 15 church plants, new church plants, and just want to introduce you to a couple of local church planters here. These are church planters in the locality. This is Dan. Why don't you just stand? Dan and Esther Garbutt. And they are church planting in the posh part of Greater Manchester, Wilmslow, don't you know, darling? And they've got a passion and a heart for the poor who have lots of money in their bank account. Because there are people like that who are poor in spirit and poor in relationship and poor in able to build community. They might appear wealthy on the outside, but there's poverty amongst them. Now, actually, we're doing probably about 15 church plants like this at the moment, right across the north of the UK. We can't do that on our own. It's groups of churches, families of churches. The teaching, the training, the sending, the equipping that we're doing, we can't do on our own. It's families of churches that do that together. So hopefully we can offer that to you as being part of our family. But also, like the things Dave was saying, hopefully we can honour what's happened with you. So obviously I refer to Jonathan here and all the musicality that's come out of this church. Well, let's bless the creativity that's come out of here. Let's partner with that. I kind of got a hearty amen from this lady from Ghana. And I kind of guess nations are on your heart as well here. And let's partner with that. Let's see what we can do together, because I think we can do more together than we can on our own. Now, I was a little bit cheeky. That second bit about autonomy was your question at the back. And you asked me that, and so I just answered it for you. Would you like to ask any other questions? Because really, we want to give the last 15 minutes to just prophesy over here. But I'm sure there are other questions. Okay, do me a favour. Let's just take 1 minute, just on your tables, just turn to one another and ask, eyeball one another and say, are there any real questions you want to ask? Come on, let's be honest. And we'll just, come on, just do that for me. Just ask one another, are there any questions? Seconds. Seconds. Okay, we're going to be very, very quick in doing this. This is the quick fire round. You'll start at a 10. And if your table has no question at all, don't worry, but very quickly articulate your question. You said you got one, Keith.
What are the doctrinal boundaries of inclusion in this group? I mean, what are the parameters? You mentioned about Reformed theology, but that's kind of a bit of a broad category.
I mean, that is a great question. Oh, you're going to be my runner, good mate. That is a great question, and we haven't got time particularly to answer that. But if you go onto the New Frontiers website, I think it's called New Frontiers Together, I could be wrong, but if you Google it, New Frontiers, then Terry Virgo, who's the founder of New Frontiers, who was always nervous about coming up with a very precise doctrinal framework, because the danger is many denominations have done this, and you have a framework which fits your day today, but then becomes out of date tomorrow, and whatever. And he came up with 17 values, if you like. They're all doctrinal values. So it would be, for instance, the value of baptism in water, the value of salvation, the value of baptism in the Holy Spirit, the value of a plural eldership leading the church, the value of looking after the poor, the value of mission. And there was lots of these, 17 of these values. That is a really helpful document for you just to look at and see if you resonate with those values. In Christ Central Churches, we distilled those values down into four, and these are the four. The first one was mentioned brilliantly by Paul this evening. We're friends who enjoy God together, and that's all about the grace of God and friendship and relationship. The second one is we're building churches empowered by word and spirit. The third one is we're advancing the kingdom of God to change the world around us. that we're empowering every single person to live for Jesus, not just in the church, but in life and in community. And the fourth one for us is that we are going to the nations to make disciples. Now, I know they're not just doctrinal values, but they are nevertheless helpful values to look at. So I can't give you a very broad answer to that. But if you look for those 17 values, and by the way, I do this everywhere I go, and I'll probably be surprised tonight. Has anyone looked at the 17 values? A few of you have. Can anyone name the 17 values? I've once offered £100 to anyone who can name the 17 values. At some point, I'm going to come across somebody who's so on the spectrum that they can just go 1, 2, 3, 4, right? But 17 isn't exactly the most easy number. That's why we boiled them down to 4. And I've not offered the £100 for the 4, because just about everyone can remember those. Does this table have any question? Okay, did this table have any question? Madam, the gentleman on your right seems to think you have a question. I know he's questionable, but... Okay, well... He wants you to... I have a friend who wants... Yeah, we know that. Yeah, what does he want you to ask? All right. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Any questions? You shouldn't have any questions. You're all from the Van Olswick Church. Any questions? Any questions from you guys? Yes, Dave.
It's a table question,
yeah.
But they kind of wanted to know how life would feel and practically be different as part of a family of churches.
In one sense, nothing changes from tonight. You're part of a bigger community. I think there's security in this. So let me give you some negatives first, rather than some positives, especially if we're talking about weakness and vulnerability. I was talking to a church that was independent and went through some leadership difficulties, didn't have anyone really to talk to about how to be helped through those difficulties. And the truth is, we all hit bumps in the road as leadership teams, as churches, and to have ministers, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers who can serve you and help you through difficulties is really beneficial. But I think that's the negative. The positive, going back to what you said, Dave, and what this gentleman was asking, is I think we can propel you further by working together. There's a famous African proverb which is on their airport when you land. I think, Rob, you'll have seen it many times in Lusaka. It says, if you want to go faster, go alone. But if you want to go further, go together. And I think we want to go further. We want to reach the ends of the earth. Now, whether it's the ends of the earth down Salfordian streets, genuine Salfordians, they're the ends of the earth from a biblical perspective, or whether it's literally the ends of the earth in Ghana or outer Mongolia or wherever, then actually together we can do that. So that's where life could look better for you. And I think it's just great to be part of a family, isn't it? It's great not to be isolated and independent. Great to be part of that. So thanks for the question. Don't think it fully answers it, but hopefully that's part of it. This table there? No? The reason I do this is because sometimes people don't always like to ask, and then like someone like Dave can go, come on, ask the question. This table? Come on. He asked the question you want to write. Okay, how it changes from tonight. Great. Great. This table?
No.
My wife always has loads of questions, but now isn't the time to ask them, dear. The Bible says ask your husband at home. So I'm just quoting the Bible. That's what it says. Cool. Great. Well, so we said we split the evening into thirds. We said I'd speak for 15 minutes or so. We'd ask questions for 15 minutes or so. And then basically the team would just prophesy over you and to you and encourage you. So if you are part of a Christ Central Church, either leading it or just part of it, why don't you just come out to the front, just because we want to show some support and solidarity. Would you just come out? Come on, there's a whole table from Bonnell to it. So we've got churches represented here. I won't know everybody's name necessarily in order, but I'll be able to say this whole table is from Barnoldswick, and obviously you know the glorious connection that Bruce Riley used to lead the church in Barnoldswick, and now his son, Paul, is helping to lead the team here, which is wonderful. We have here Liverpool Church, Jubilee Church, Liverpool. We have Christ Central Manchester. We have Redeemer Wilmslow. Get it right, thank you. Redeemer Wilmslow. Oh, don't start naming all the churches, Jeremy. I was preaching this morning. I got the name of the church right, but I got the city wrong. Oh, no. I got it the Ark Huddersfield. We've got Stoke, Grace Church Stoke. We've got Grace Church Bolton. We've got Christ Central Manchester and the Ark Huddersfield, represented in Graham. Johnny Two Churches here. And we have Chris from Gateway Church Leeds. And that's where Oggy goes as well. And this fine fettle of a group is all from Barnoldswick. Have I missed anyone out? Myself, City Church Sheffield, and my wife, City Church Sheffield. So we just want to pray for you, and we just want to prophesy over you. Now, obviously, the Bible says you could prophesy one after another, but it would probably take us till the news at 10 to do that. We haven't got time, and you haven't got time for that. But the Bible does say, let there two or three, and let it be weighed. Now, I'm hoping for more than two or three. This isn't a public meeting where there's lots of guests and outsiders here, so we haven't got to necessarily do things quite in the biblical way where you only have two or three and then weigh it. We can bring half a dozen prophecies to you, and you as elders and leaders and teachers, you can weigh that together. But who would like to start off by prophesying over the church, Rob?
I just felt the Lord wanted to encourage you as it were, as a new child in the family, that you must not look upon yourself as the new child, as the outsider, and feel separate or different, and also not to compare yourself with, as it were, the other brothers and sisters. Remember, first of all, although technically, if you like, from tonight, you're being adopted in, and we, for example, were planted, we've all been adopted by God. And you know, biblically, adoption is a very high thing. And so I think just positively he wants to say to you, just be who you are in God. You know, you mustn't try to be like anybody else. You're just who you are, and be as full as you can to, and as true as you can to yourselves.
I had a picture at church this morning, and I didn't know if it was for us, but when I got here, I knew it was for you guys. Just reminded that today is Palm Sunday, and just had the word make way for the King of Kings going through my head, and just that image of the people putting down the palms, but their cloaks and their coats on the floor before Jesus as he walked through. And I just had the word that you guys are a real worshipping church, that you've got such a heart for worship. But and it reminded the story of Joshua and the battle, that it was worship at the front, and the trumpeters at the front, and the shout. And it was worship that won the battle, it was worship that won the city. And that there's just a real heart of worship here, and just an encouragement. That's not just worship up here, it's worship with your hearts and with your lives. And just to encourage you that is something that God wants you to keep focusing on and pushing through on.
I feel God wants to encourage you for the 50 years or so that you have planted into this city. Actually, God honours those 50 years. It's not like you're throwing those away. God wants to honour what this church has done in this community for all that time. And actually, what God would say to you is one of the potential advantages of being part of something bigger is we want to reach Salford. I've lived in Salford for 15 years. I still want to reach Salford. I may be involved in other places elsewhere. I still want to reach Salford. And I believe God has put on your heart, reach Salford, reach this community. And God wants to encourage you with that. And we want to partner with you in that. And I feel God just wants to encourage you with that. We're not here to drag you away to do something else, to get you onto something that we're going for. We actually want to get alongside you and partner with you in this city.
So there would be a fresh commissioning for you guys this evening, everyone, to remember the poor. It's a time-honored truth, and yet it's part of who God has made you to be. It is part of where He has placed you. But in the summer, we looked out over the communities on your doorstep, and we prayed for what was hidden behind closed doors. We prayed for people hiding in addiction, people hiding in darkness, people hiding in abuse, people hiding in fear and guilt and shame, people hiding in spiritual poverty and physical poverty. And God would recommission you again this evening to remember the poor. That there is an anointing from the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord to bind up brokenhearted and set the captives free. Lord, let there be an anointing in this place today to bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, I pray for people that will come into contact with this church through the workplace, through the street, through the hobbies, the interests, whatever. Lord, let there be an anointing on individuals to bind up the brokenhearted with the hope of Jesus, with the truth of God. A setting free of the captives, a releasing. Lord, a growth in this church community as soul after soul after soul encounters the overwhelming, overswelling, overpouring compassion of Jesus. Thank you.
And just connected to that, I just had the woman at the well and the rivers of living water from the two different parts of John, but this living water that you are that, and that you're going to bring that to people like the woman at the well. And what Dave's just said, basically, just to reinforce that, there are people that would have potentially even killed themselves in previous years, and you've rescued them. God's used you to rescue people from terrible destruction of their own lives. And there are going to be many more, that you will be a well of life in this place, that you have been, and that will carry on, and that is to keep being a priority for you, as it is to be for every church, but that you will keep doing that.
Yeah, I just believe that you know, we're all in a big pot. The NF is a big pot, and as each church joined it, you're not a layer, and then another church, another layer, and another layer. When we join the pot, as all the churches do and all, God comes and He stirs us up. He mixes us all up. We're weak, there's somebody willing to stand with you where they're strong. Somewhere where we're doubting, there's somebody to stand with you to encourage you. So just remember who we are, where we are. We're nothing special, as has been said tonight. We're all one as a family, and we have to love as a family.
So most of you know that this is my home church and I grew up here, and when I was a teenager or whatever, there weren't many children around our age. It was pretty much me and Joggy. And now you've got so many more kids, so many teenagers, and this church has really given me a basis for my Christian life. And so much love here. I've obviously been away for a year, but coming back, it just feels like home straight away again. And even if Quinn can't remember her name. And I just have a feeling that you've got so many kids here now and so many young people that you can equip them, you can do the same for them as you did for me, to send them, either send them out or to send them to be the core of this church as they grow up. And yeah, I just thank you guys.
I think that word there was just so spot on. It was such a joy for me to be here 18 months ago, and the thing that I really just blew me away was your love for one another, your genuine love for one another. I think you were sending someone away and there was just a lot of tears going on, and that's just such an awesome sign. I just had a sense of God wanting to say to you, I've seen you like my son David, in the fields worshipping. I've seen you praying. I've seen you seeking me. I've seen you being faithful. I've seen you praying in the next generation. I've seen your heart for me and my presence. And I want you to know that today is a day of anointing, fresh anointing from my spirit onto yours. And it's an anointing for battle and an anointing for advancing. And I want you to know that I'm calling you, although you may feel like a young brother among many older brothers, I'm calling you to lead the charge in certain areas. I'm calling you to turn up to the battlefield and say, actually, I've got something to give to this. I want you to know that you're among a safe family, a family of brothers that will not be full of cynicism towards you, full of disrespect towards you, but you're in a family that will encourage you and cheer you on to the battle. I want you to know that I'm calling you as a David to take on Goliaths of ungodly creativity. I'm calling you as a David into new areas of worship. And I want you to know that I've equipped you with amazing gifts to bring to the family of Christ Central. You're not to despise the things of small beginnings. You're to speak up, not let anyone look down on you because you're young. But Paul, I feel there's just an instruction on you to speak up. You've got some things to bring. You've got some things to bring to the party. And God's putting that on you tonight for the team here, to speak up and say, actually, we want to bring this. We've got this. And we're going to encourage you along in that.
He's not going to stop you, is he? So when Dave was speaking, I loved that eagerness that you have. And it said of the Bereans that they had great eagerness. And I think it can sometimes be thought that being eager to receive guest ministries is almost a weakness, but actually God gives grace to the humble. And it's also, as you receive, you also then tend to grow. And God, I believe God's saying, you're going to be people who go out. And also, you're going to be received. The way you receive people, you'll be received as you go out and bring what God is teaching you. And so it's an ongoing sort of rolling program that God has of making disciples. So keep up that eagerness. Don't despise it. Don't think, oh, we always need to have guest speakers. You don't. You've got stuff to say as well.
Do you want to wait? Okay, so slight different context. Paul writes to Timothy, and there's a great affection, isn't there, as Paul writes to Timothy, and he engages with him and stirs him and encourages him. And he says this phrase several times. He says, but as for you, and that's the phrase I've got for you, there's going to be things that are different. Actually, although you may be thinking, oh, you're part of the family and we might have to look like him or dress like her or what have you. No, you don't. Okay, there will be things specifically that God has got for you. Okay, and it's almost like, don't worry about what they're doing. Don't learn, and there'll be engagement and things to help and encourage with. But actually, as for you, here's what I've got for you. Here's what we're running. And I think the other thing that came through that is there are people that have got disappointments. That there's something magical about joining tonight that means disappointments stop. But I think faith's going to arise. And actually, seeds that you've sown that have lain dormant, that maybe even if you're honest, you've sort of given up on. Yeah? Actually, God's going to speak faith. Blow faith into you, stir faith into you, and you'll see some of those seeds that you think are dormant actually growing. And there'll be encouragements, even in the weeks ahead. The things that, I've forgotten about that. I've forgotten we'd gone into that. I've forgotten I prayed for that. Okay, and you'll start to see God doing things. Okay?
Helen, why don't you come right at the end, and I'm just going to ask Helen to bless us and for the Holy Spirit just to empower us and fill us. So right where you are, in fact, I tell you what, let's do this. Why don't everybody go and touch as many people as you can appropriately on their shoulder? This is a weird group. They're a touching group. Well, it's actually quite helpful. I think it's healthy. There's something about laying hands. There's something about touching. There's something about blessing one another. So or everyone else, apart from Helen, who's part of this, just go and lay hands on someone or a couple or a person. Just spread yourselves around.
We weren't going to touch everybody. We weren't going to touch everybody, but it's just a sense of connection with you and with your church. So, and then I'm just going to let the last voice from us tonight be from Helen, and then I'm sure Paul will say something at the end.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's a real honour. Somebody said on the way in about you redecorating this place, and I just really felt actually that God wanted to come and move in a new way. So, and that really has been our experience as a church. We've decorated as well. We've had a new roof. We've got some stuff in common with you guys. So, but actually, more importantly, God has come and he started a work in our hearts. So let's just pray. Let's cry out to God for a fresh touch from him tonight. Father, we just welcome you in this place. Thank you that you love this church. This is your church, and we love you. And Lord, I thank you for the hunger in this place. I thank you for your presence in this place. And we just cry out to you for more, Lord. We say more of your presence in our lives. We're hungry for you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Lord, we invite you to come and do even more in this place, Lord God. We thank you for the life that's here. We thank you for every young person that's here, Lord God. We pray that you will come and empower the young people in this place, Lord, to take the gospel out. Lord, we pray that you will bring many people to this place to train and equip, Lord God. Lord, we pray for churches to come out of this church, Lord God. We pray that you would do a wonderful thing. We thank you that you've put this church on the hill, literally. It's called Mount Chapel, Lord God. Lord, would you come and presence yourself here in your glory, Lord God. Do an amazing work in these people, Lord God. Lord, work on their hearts, Lord. Transform them from the inside, Lord God. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. We welcome your presence. We welcome what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.